Evening, church. I have Brother Enoch helping me out here. He's going to be handing out a handout. Can you guys hear me? Okay, good. And basically, it's some of the stuff, as you know, I can't give you everything at once. So it's the other stuff that I wanted to talk about. I put it in paper form so that you can have it for your homework assignment. All right, praise God. So basically, what it is something really interesting. I find it interesting. You know, it's James chapter 5, verse 4. And I give you a few English translations. And I want you to notice the name that James uses for God. And you'll see that in your handout, that there are a handful of English versions that use different names for God when it comes to this particular phrase that James is using. So like, for instance, in James chapter 5 in the NIV, James calls God the Lord Almighty in the NIV. In the ESV, the ESV writers call God the Lord of Hosts, and the CEB, the Lord of Heavenly Forces, and then in the CSB, the Lord of Armies. So you would have to ask yourself, why is it that so many English translations have so many different names that are cogent to what God is in character, but why is it so different? You will notice that what Jacob or James, right? You know, for those of you who are doing Pastor Doug's morning classes, you know that James' name is actually Jacob. But in James' prayer here in James chapter 5 is an imprecatory prayer. And although all of these names that the English writers give as an example of what James is saying, none of these are actually the Greek words that James is using. So James is writing in Greek. But when he gets to this point of his prayer, the Holy Spirit switches his language that he's writing and speaking from Greek to Hebrew. So the word that James actually uses is savioth, which is not really a Greek word. It is a Hebrew word, right? So for my Pentecostals, he's not speaking in tongues here, but he is going back to the oldest form of prayer that he can relate to. Don't forget, James chapter 1 tells us who he's talking to. So perhaps I would love to hear you guys' theories. I don't have a definitive answer as to why the Holy Spirit switches from Greek to Hebrew when he's talking about God. I would love to hear that on a later time. But I just want you guys to look at that, right, on your own. And it gives us a good lesson about prayer. And some of you would ask me questions about the names of God and how, why, and what's the fascination I have with praying the names of God. And this is one of the reasons, because even the Bible writers do so, you know. So that's just something I wanted you guys to have. And of course, there's other things in there that you'll enjoy, pretty much nuggets. So I just want to get started. I want to thank the church for allowing me this opportunity to be used as a cog for God's glory. We'll hear about this in eternity, right? Amen. So I also noticed that I also got a huge surprise. My in-laws, my extended family is in the back there. They could just wave. My mother-in-law is here, so you know I got to preach now. So listen, I promise we'll get out of here before 11:30. No problem, okay? Yeah, but I'm so happy to see them. My family is back there. You all know my son is probably going to say amen, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord. We're going to look at James chapter 5, and I got a lot of help doing this, a lot of support. You guys are amazing. Your church prayed for me. I mean, Deacon Serignano saved my life this morning. He prayed for me, thank God. We'll talk about that one later. But, you know, even Constantinos helped me tremendously in understanding these Greek terms. And, you know, Elder Bob, and such a tremendous support. My wife and my son, such a tremendous support. As I'm up at 2 in the morning making noise and they're trying to sleep, they were very patient with me. James talks a lot about patience, so they were studying with me. Amen. So I want you to hold Hebrews chapter 11 also. Just put like a bookmarker there. We're going to come to that later. We're going to read James chapter 5 first. And when Elder Bod spoke, he spoke from the book of James, and his topic was mainly not using your mouths to speak evil. and to slander one another. I'm going to be using the book of James, and I'm going to talk about how we can use our mouths to pray for one another, right? One of Brother Randy's last points in when he spoke was how we can pray for one another, right? So I hope you guys, you fueled up your hands and your fingers and fine-tuned your Bibles and your mind, because we're going to put some miles on your Bible tonight. Is that okay? Amen. Praise God. So James chapter 5, verse 13, King James, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that he may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yahweh be with us now in Yeshua's name. Amen. It's important that people know always the truth. Archaeologist and biblical scholar Michael Saunders. James was the half-brother of Yeshua. And historians say that James prayed so often that his knees swelled up of that of a camel. So he got down on his knees a lot. When speaking about the study of prayer, which is deus-sus-ology from the word deus-sus, to cry out to, ology, the study of. When you talk about deus-sus-ology, it's the study of prayer. And when we delve into such a vast topic, prayer is enormous. If you ever have an encyclopedia and you go to prayer, there's probably a book based basically on that alone. So many topics can spring from this one subject, praying for one another. That's why I said we're going to get out of here by 11:30. But no, I'm going to give you just a few things that will help us along the way as a body, as a church, as a community of saints that can be beneficial for us. One topic that I'm inspired by was actually from our Sunday programs, the handouts that we give every Sunday here at church, and that word is invocation. Invocation. If you look closely, I don't know, for those of us who attend regularly, you'll see that there's a place in the programs that has invocation. And what an invocation is, technically, it's just the act or process of petitioning for help. It's a prayer of entreaty. It's a calling upon of a higher authority. One thing that I learned about invocation, that when doing it, however, one should do so confidently and not vacillating in their faith, right? So James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, when speaking about wisdom, he says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." So faith is a key component in doing invocation, and I don't really think it takes that much, right? James says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Faith is a key component when doing invocation, in receiving that which you ask Yeshua for according to his will. But what is faith? What is faith? Faith can be described as trusting with holy fervor. It's conviction of the truth. It's belief in assurance. It's constant fidelity. It's confidence in expectation. Faith. But based on what? Based on what? In this context, at least, it's faith based on the very name of God. The very name of God. It's belief in his name. It's belief in his name, his nature, his character, his occupational titles, his name. If I can give you a biblical definition, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And might I add, when Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith, not by sight, what the Bible isn't saying is that when we do invocation, that we do so out of frivolity. We don't do invocations without certainty or even proof that God can answer by his name. No, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, right? So in Hebrews chapter 11, it's the Hall of Fame of Faith. And the chapter starts off by teaching what, it works out the definition of what faith is through illustrations and examples. So Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 1, it starts off by describing what faith looks like, and mentioning the elders, the creation of the universe, our solar system. In verse 4, it mentions the faith of Abel. In verse 5 and 6, we see the example of faith in the prophet Enoch, how it pleases God, and without it, you can't please him. In verse 7, this is where we get the expanded definition of what faith looks like when it says, by faith, Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear to the preparing of the ark, of the saving of his household. So did you catch it? So invocation isn't blind faith. No, it's patiently believing. It's patiently believing of things not yet seen. Patiently believing that we serve a good Father who can do that which we seek him for according to his will and by his name. In John chapter 2, verse 23, the word of God reads, many believe in his name. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. So many believed because they saw, which is not necessarily a bad thing. In John chapter 10, verse 25, Yeshua, Jesus, says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Right? So the wonders that we've heard of, or the wonders that we witnessed or experienced Messiah perform, give us confidence in our petitions. So if you go to Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3 and hold James chapter 5, but in Acts chapter 3, when we talk about faith in God's name, you maybe sprinkle some patience and mix it with invocation, can be effective because his name is above every name. This is why James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, let the elders pray over the sick person, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, right? Anointing the sick with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So, James, how do you know for sure? What evidence do you have that the prayer of faith will save the sick? Well, maybe because Yeshua's name is Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. So I can petition him for recuperation because though I may not see the recovery yet, though I haven't seen it yet, I have faith in his name because he has restored many before and his works bear witness and attest of who he is. Amen. So, James, how do you know for sure that the prayer of faith shall save the sick? Because Yeshua's name is Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. And because he can cure all our diseases, he has that reputation. So, James, how do you know God can bless us with good things? Maybe because by the Spirit, we call God Abba, Yahweh Abba. And that's his name, Abba. And every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father. And not just the Father, but the Father of lights, the Father of lights. What an interesting title to call our God, the Father of lights. Henry Morris, who's a scientist and the father of modern creationism, said that light is an electromagnetic radiation that can travel at 670,616,629.2, give or take a few miles per hour, right? So that's moving so fast, it can travel and circle completely around the whole earth 7 times in 1 second. Father of lights. That speaks of how quickly he can answer when we call him. Maybe that's why Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, Yahweh says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. He has no shadow of turning, no variance. He's a God that doesn't change. If he answered before, he's willing and capable of answering again. He's the Father of Lights. That's his character. That's his nature. That's his name. So how do you know your invocations, that when you do invocations, that he can supply your needs? Because his name is Yahweh Jireh. He's the God or the Lord who provides. That's his name. So James, how do you know for sure God can defend us? How do you know God can vindicate us from distresses and oppression? Because James chapter 5 verse 4 says that the cries of our invocation will reach the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. We have faith in his name that Yeshua can defend us in our court cases or vindicate us from antagonizers because he is a warrior God that leads a host of heavenly armies. That's his name, Sabaoth. He has that reputation of never losing a battle. That's his name, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judea. That's his name, the commander and chief shepherd of glory. That's his name, the captain and prince of our salvation. That's his name, the judge and the lawgiver, the king of kings and lord of lords. That's his name. Amen. That's his name. And his name literally is Yahweh is our Savior. That's his name. Amen. In Acts chapter 3, verse 16, when the man who is lame and unable to walk is healed, and Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, and his name, you know, Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, through faith in his name has made this once lame man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Yeshua, Jesus, has given this once lame man perfect soundness. Amen. And the faith in Messiah's name will save the sick. Maybe that's why we're taught to pray, hallowed be thy name. Maybe that's why Yeshua in John chapter 14, verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Please excuse me. This is, you know, I just believe the Bible, especially when it says the things in red. You know, this isn't name it, claim it. This is read it, believe it, you know, because some of us will think that I am going off topic of the traditional Baptist culture. But no, I just believe the Bible. Just stay with me. I promise you we're almost done. Amen. This is James who says that there is reasons for hindrance in getting answered prayer. So this isn't name and claim, because some of us might claim things that we'll never get. James says we ask out of impure motives, and Isaiah says it's because of our sin. John says that God doesn't hear sinners, and Peter says, as for married couples, your prayers are hindered because you're not honoring one another. You know, Jesus says your prayers don't get answered because you don't forgive one another, right? So, you know, there's many reasons that can come up why we don't hear answered prayer, and just because you got a no from God doesn't mean he did not answer. It's according to his will. Amen. So, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 to 21, when Yeshua's disciples come to him privately and ask, why are they unsuccessful in casting out a demon from a sick person? Yeshua says, because of their unbelief. Yes, because of their unbelief. Now get this now. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Yeshua tells us how much faith we actually need. When he says, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. It doesn't take much faith in his name, as long as our faith is in our greatly massive and humongous God, right? It's not the faith in ourselves, because we are peons. You know, we're talking about the God who's so big that he stoops to look upon heaven and earth, the God who's so big he can measure all of the oceans in the hollow palm of his hand and the atmosphere with the length of his fingertips, the God who's so large he can sit on the circle of the earth and all of mankind is as grasshoppers. That's the great, big, large, and splendiferous God that we serve, the God who can speak the world into existence. That's the God I have faith in. And if I just have just a little bit of faith, the Bible says that I could do wondrous things. This is extravagant extravagant faith. Your little faith is extravagant. Where's Brother Enoch? Can you please hand that out for me? Wherever you are, Brother Enoch. So I wanted you guys to see this for yourself. I'm giving you a token so that you can take home, right? I just want you to see this. This right here is the equivalent, if I was to give you a picture of what Christ was talking about. It's very hard just to hold one, but you have to take one and pass it to your neighbor. So that much faith, right? This is a mustard seed. It has approximately 0.002 grams of mass, about 1 or 2 millimeters in diameter, and 0.00000449 pounds. That's how much faith Jesus says you need to do extravagant things, mountain moving, extravagant things. Amen? That much faith. Okay, I hope I dropped it back in the bag. But that much faith is what's needed to do marvelous things. So it's invocation with infinitesimal faith in his name that can reap extravagant results, mountain moving results. But here's the kicker. Touch your neighbor now, tell him pay attention. Here's the kicker. You have to listen to this. Even if I invoke the name of Yahweh in a prayer, though I speak with the eloquence of a scholar and with the dunamis potency of angelic beings, but I do not have love, I've become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith that can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I need love. Without love, I'm just making noise when I pray. Without love, even if I have faith, my prayers will become fruitless. I need love for my prayers to have a lasting value with authenticity. I can even show my love for entreating God on behalf of someone else. I can even show my love when entreating, thank you, Brother Enoch, entreating God on behalf of someone else. And that is called interceding or intercessory prayer. And if you looked at our programs, you'll see there's a section for praise and prayer. And it tells you who you can intercede for, right? So some of you are going to catch on pretty soon. You're going to pass the test, I know. Amen. So intercessory prayer, James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Pray for one another. That's intercession. That's interceding, the act of pleading to God on behalf of someone else. The picture is of a person in need of something, and another person takes those needs and as an ambassador brings it before Yahweh on behalf of the other person. It's like to stand in the gap, so to speak, a go-between, a broker, if you will, a conciliator or interposer. Amen. But these prayers can or maybe even should be coupled with an effort to see the desired results. Notice in James chapter 5, verse 14, James doesn't just say, call for the elders and let them pray over the sick, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. No, James includes a physical action. James says, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Anointing him with oil. If someone is sick, just don't intercede, but give them the medicine they need. What James may be describing here, and it's debatable, but this is what it is for tonight until you leave and you discuss it on your way home. But what James may be describing here is the practice of applying healing balm. Healing balm. That's what it's discussed in the halls of the theologians, I guess. But he may be implying that, and there's biblical evidence for that. So Luke, the beloved physician in Luke chapter 10, verse 34, he speaks on the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's the only gospel writer, by the way, who actually mentions this part of the account. He says that the Good Samaritan pours oil and wine on the injured man's wounds, the good physician, the beloved physician puts that in there. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 7, after Hezekiah prays, he's instructed to use the white milky sap of figs for his skin tumors, warts, and boils, the medicine of his day. Because figs, as even when we went to Israel, we were told that figs have an antibacterial properties that can be used for medicine for Hezekiah's sores, the medicine of his day. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 5, for clinical depression, the Shulamite prescribes eating raisins for its antioxidants and apples for its vitamin C, both which are proven to have a source to help improve temperament and help the remission of depression and or anxiety symptoms. So that's raisins and apples. That's the prescription of her day. James teaches not just prayer alone, but do something while praying to achieve the desired result. In James chapter 2, verse 15, he says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled. This sounds like a benediction or an intercessory prayer. Depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, some of you have heard me pray for some of the distresses that yourselves have gone through, and the church has prayed for you, and some of you have seen me show up at your doorstep with an item to aid you in your battle, right? Amen, right? So some of you have had, flu-like symptoms, and at your front door is Brother Ethan with chicken broth or chicken soup. So while I'm interceding for you, I am giving you the thing you need that can help you on your way to your victory. Some of you were, the church was celebrating you and praying for you in milestones. And surprise, surprise, here is Brother Ethan with a lobster dinner or a steak dinner, thanking God for your marriage and being such great stewards of and examples of that. Amen. Some of you have had questions about biblical topics, and Ethan would give you a resource so that you can understand it and study, while at the same time interceding that you grow in grace and knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. So I wanted to see you get well, so I interceded for you and asked Elder Barnabas for vitamin D3 pills to give to you. I wanted to see you. I prayed for you that you would come to service and then offered you a ride. Amen. I do something to help see the desired result of my prayer. These are beautiful pictures of what intercession can look like when we love and pray for one another. And of course, this isn't in every case, but as we have opportunity, Galatians chapter 6, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Lastly, in Psalms chapter 143, just go there and hold Psalms 100 chapter 43 and go to Psalms chapter 4. And while you do that, I'll just read James chapter 5, verse 13, which says, is any among you afflicted, suffering, enduring hardships, troubles, or being ill-treated? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Now, get this. I want you guys to see this, that singing psalms, as Pastor said earlier, is a way of teaching on prayer, but singing songs can actually be prayer. So if you look closely at Psalms chapter 4, verse 1, in the heading it says, it may say different things in different translations, to the chief musician with string instruments, a what? A psalm of David, right? So in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament, it actually writes an ode of David, an ode, O-D-E of David, right? So an ode of David. Then he says, answer me or hear me when I call, O Elohim of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distresses. Have mercy on me and hear my, what? Hear my prayer. So this prayer David does is also an ode. It's a lyrical poem or song. A prayer can be an ode, which leads us to our third letter, I word. Our first was invocation, which was on the program. Our second is intercession, which is also on the program. And you guessed it, the third is also in our program. It's intonation. Intonation. So if you, as you look at Psalms chapter 143, I'll read from the Septuagint, Psalms chapter 61, verse 1. It's also in the handouts I gave. It says, to the chief musician or director of music on stringed instruments. In the Septuagint, it says, a psalm or hymn of David, a hymn of David. Hear my cry, O Elohim, attend unto my prayer. So in Psalm 61, this is a prayer. That's also a hymn. A hymn. And a hymn is a song of praise to our God. Now, if you look at Psalm chapter 143, verse 1, do you see the heading before the verse starts? It says, a psalm of David, a psalm of David. And then David says, hear my prayer, O Yahweh, give ear to my supplication. This is a prayer that's also a psalm. And in the Septuagint here, where it says a psalm of David, this is the same word for like a pious spiritual song, usually with instruments. And in Hebrew, the word for psalms is the same word for prayers. Prayers. So in closing, just look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. So prayer can be an ode, a prayer can be a hymn, a prayer can be a psalm. And the good thing about psalms and songs and hymns is that we can do it with one another. We can do it with one another. Many of our hymns we sing are, in fact, prayers. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day and by night. Walking or sleeping, thy presence my light. In the song, in the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, it's a prayer for the presence of God and his guidance. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. That's a hymn and a prayer for a holy and sanctified life and being used for God's glory. Ultimately, the greatest example of invocation is found in Yeshua, who in our Bibles has the largest amount of teachings and examples on prayer. Yeshua gets in boats and prays. Yeshua goes to mountaintops to pray. Yeshua fasts and prays even while being tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. Yeshua goes to gardens to pray. Yeshua prays for his disciples, especially Peter, because Satan wants to sift him like wheat. Yeshua teaches persistent prayer, imprecatory prayer. He teaches the power of prayer. He teaches the point of prayer. And we know how to make invocations by his name because 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things I have written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and we know that he heareth us, that we will receive that which we ask him for. Whatsoever we ask, we know we have our petitions, that which we desire of him. That was 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Ultimately, the greatest example of invocation we have is found in Yeshua. Ultimately, the greatest example of intercession is found in Jesus, Yeshua. Because he hath poured out his soul to death, he was numbered with the transgressors and made intercession for the transgressors. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him by God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Ultimately, the greatest example of intercession is found in Yeshua. And ultimately, the greatest example of intonation is found in Yeshua. Yahweh, your God, in your midst, the Holy One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Just as he sung a hymn before he goes to the Mount of Olives, he says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Ultimately, the greatest example of intonation is found in Yeshua. Pray for one another in invocations. Intercede for one another with love. And pray by way of intonations with one another. God bless you.